Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Bitcoin, it's the world's newest currency. It's controversial. It's confusing. Maybe you've never even heard of it. But now you can buy this virtual currency in a real place. There is a Bitcoin ATM in Boston's South Station. It's the first machine of its kind. And Radio Boston intern Jamie Bologna went to South Station to try it out with a little help from Kyle Powers, one of the co-founders of Liberty Teller, the Boston company which operates the Bitcoin ATM.
Okay, I'm going to buy some Bitcoin. What do I need to do?
So it's three simple steps. You click the start button.
Okay.
You scan your QR code. Do you have a digital wallet? Or we can give you a paper wallet
one
if you don't. All right, so you hit request.
Receive?
Yeah, receive. There you go.
Okay.
Now you show
I'm holding my phone to a scanner device. Okay,
then
a little thing is popping up on the screen asking for money. All right. Get out my crisp $20 bill. It ate the bill. All right, now what's
happening?
You
hit send whenever you're done entering bills.
Okay. It's loading.
There you go. That simple.
And voila, Bitcoin on Jamie's smartphone. But does it mean that the confusing virtual currency is poised to make a breakthrough as common tender in the real world? Let's turn to Hiawatha Bray, technology writer for the Boston Globe, who's also tried out the Bitcoin ATM. Hiawatha, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
So first, we should tell listeners that there was actually a hiccup with that Bitcoin ATM at South Station today. There was a technical problem with it. Liberty Teller took it out of South Station, fixed it up, tuned it up, brought it back into South Station. So I guess they're still working out the kinks on this first ever Bitcoin ATM. But what was it like using it, Hiawatha?
Well, it isn't, by the way, the absolute first ever Bitcoin ATM. They have one in Albuquerque, New Mexico. There's another company in Canada that's starting to distribute them. There are a handful in other countries, but it's really very close to the first one. Using it is really very simple, just as the radio implied. If you have a Bitcoin wallet, and it doesn't even have to be on your smartphone, you can actually use a printed piece of paper with a barcode on it. You hold it up to the scanner. That's the address of your Bitcoin account. It reads that, and it says, fine, how much money you want to put in there? Then you just feed in the bills.
Right.
Currently, there's a limit of $500, and you push a button on the screen that says go, and that's it.
So
you're done.
So it really is pretty simple. Now, before we sort of dig into more about what the significance of these new Bitcoin ATMs are, let's back up for a second really quickly, because I think there are a lot of people out there who still don't fully understand what Bitcoin is. Can you give us the Bitcoin 101 in a couple seconds?
Well, it's basically, it's a complex thing to get your head around, but it's based on the idea that you don't need a government or any central organization to run a secure supply of money. Instead, you get thousands of computers scattered around the world, each using very complex math to confirm every transaction done with this new form of money. When you buy something with Bitcoin, the purchase is recorded and sent to this network of computers that confirm it. It usually takes about 10 minutes for complete confirmation to go through, and it's a permanent record that you spent this Bitcoin to buy this product.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need banks, you don't need governments, you don't need anybody. As a result, the transaction fees for Bitcoin tend to be very low, and the ability to transmit finances through Bitcoin is very, very rapid.
Very rapid. Okay.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
The number of users out there in comparison to the, I don't know, everyone
is
else
very,
on the
very
planet
tiny.
Is very tiny. Exactly.
That's
so
right.
So you talked to Liberty Teller, the company that's operating this Bitcoin machine in South Station. What did they tell you about why they thought it's time for a real machine for this virtual currency?
Well, I mean, it's obviously it's a chicken and egg thing. It's hard to get Bitcoin. I mean, I tried to get Bitcoin last week by buying it through my bank. It takes days to buy some Bitcoin from a bank. And with this method, you just, for example, walk up, and that's what I did yesterday. I went to an ATM, got some U.S. currency out of it, then walked right over to this ATM, started feeding it in, and I was instantly buying Bitcoins. So this is a way to allow people to get Bitcoins fast. But of course, it's only half the problem. The other half of the problem is, where do you spend them? I found a really nice restaurant called Thelonious Monkfish in Cambridge. I had a great meal there and paid for it with Bitcoins. And by the way, paying for things with Bitcoins is painless. It's extremely simple. I just scanned the Bitcoin address of the restaurant with my smartphone, and it said, pow, there you go, paid. But there are only a handful of places in the world where you can spend Bitcoin. There's Overstock.com, you know, the online retail firm. You can spend it there. There are a few other places. But until there are lots of places, until it's as common as using Visa or MasterCard, it's going to be real hard to get consumers interested in it.
And did they tell you why South Station? Because I'm wondering, like, wouldn't maybe a more sort of tech-savvy part of the greater Boston area have been a better place for it? I don't know, Kendall Square, Four
Point.
I don't
get it. Why not South Station? Thousands of people come in through there, and believe it or not, some of them have used computers.
So now you're just giving me a hard time.
No, there are hordes of highly technical people who use South Station who are commuting from to and from various places. And when I was there, I saw bunches of people. The minute they saw it, they knew what it was. They said, oh, Bitcoin, I can buy that here. They claim they've already had over 100 users in the last 24 hours or so. So I think it's a perfect location.
All right. Okay, so South Station commuters, forgive me. I am genuflecting before you. But Hiawatha, let's get to this question. You said that there's a chicken and egg problem here. So do you see the fact that these real-world machines are popping up showing that at least there are people out there who believe maybe we're getting to a time or a place or a tipping point where we might suddenly see a lot more Bitcoin users?
Well, sure, of course. And that's what they're hoping for. They're going to try to deploy these machines in as many places as possible and eventually hope that this is going to catch on. The problem is that until it's retailers that make it possible for you to easily buy and sell things, it's going to be hard to see how that happens. I'll give you another example, though, that I mentioned in my article. My wife is Congolese. You have no idea how useful this could be as a way of transferring money from one country to another. It would drive Western Union out of business. It costs $12 to send $100 to Congo. That's insane. If you could do it with Bitcoin, it might cost you a buck or even less. The problem is no bank in Congo takes Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And until stuff like that changes, you won't be able to use it that way. But international money remittances is a $500 billion global market. And Bitcoin could be a huge success in that market just by itself, but it's got to get the world banking community behind it, and that's going to be a problem. China has already banned its banks from working with Bitcoin. Russia has banned the entire currency. In China, you can still do private Bitcoin transactions. In Russia, no Bitcoin. It's forbidden. So until that changes, it won't be able to live up to its potential. And of course, you haven't gotten around to talking about the other really frightful thing about Bitcoin.
Since it's underground use.
No, yeah. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that since I wrote that story yesterday, the value of Bitcoin has gone down 8%.
Uh-huh.
Imagine a chunk of money. You put $100 in your pocket in the morning, and it's worth $92 at night. I don't think people are going to embrace that.
Well, currency speculators everywhere, beware, because the problems are also with Bitcoin. But nevertheless, as Hiawatha has told us, it's venturing into the real world with Bitcoin ATM, the first one in the greater Boston area. Now at South Station, Hiawatha's used it. He's reported about it in the Boston Globe. Hiawatha Bray, technology reporter for the Boston Globe, thank you so much for joining us today.
You are so welcome.
Well, stick with us, because coming up next, we're going to hear the harrowing true story of five men who were trapped hundreds of feet underwater in Boston Harbor in an attempt to fix one of the biggest engineering projects in the country's history. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.